Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. We have a special show for you tonight. Zognish came all as to gaze them letzten weg. Kochim lemblai and effach stern bloyeteng. Kummen wird noch unser Reus gebängte schon. Never say this is the final road for you. Though leaden skies cover days of blue, the time we've longed for will at last draw near, and our steps as drums will sound that we are here. From lands so green with palms to lands all white with snow, we shall be coming with our anguish and our woe. And where a spurt of our blood fell on the earth, there our courage and our faith will have rebirth. The early morning sun will brighten our day, and yesterday with our foe will fade away. But if the sun delays and in the east remains, this song as password for generations must remain. The song was written with our blood and not with lead. It's not a little tune that birds sing overhead. This song, a people sang amid collapsing walls. With pistols in hand, they heeded to the call. Therefore, never say the road now ends for you. Though the leaden skies cover days of blue, the time we've longed for will at last draw near, as our steps, as drums, will sound that we are here. Our guest this evening is photographer extraordinaire, former chairman of the photography department at the Fashion Institute of Photography in Manhattan, Irving Shield. Mr. Shield is going to talk to us about the project he's been working on for the last few years. It's a project for a book on the rebirth of Jewish life on communities throughout Europe that were destroyed by the Nazi hordes. Good evening, Irving. Good evening, Irving.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Good evening. Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
So, tell us a little bit about your project. But first, tell us a little bit about your background. What brought you to this project?
Okay. First, I'm an artist. I'm a Holocaust survivor. And I'm also a photographer. What brought me to this project is, number one, we as the Jews is a very rich visual, as well as our rituals are very colorful. We've been called a race, but we are not a race. We are a people. We are a people of many dimensions, many colors. We are scattered all over the world. And through the years, we have evolved, we have evolution, we have picked up some of the similar certain habits that were around us that maintained in full tradition our heritage. It is interesting to go to Morocco and go to East Europe, totally different. In Europe, for instance, in our prayers, you go to a minyan, you go to a synagogue in Ashkenazi minyan, and you start each prayer. You start with the first phrase, then the other phrase, so everybody can keep up. In Sephardic, they pray the whole thing, all the way through. They can hear everything. And it's for different reasons. In Europe, We've been persecuted all our life. We had to hide. And maybe that is the reason, the fact that we had to hide, that maybe we try to be a little bit more silent in our prayer. As in the Sephardic, the Moroccans, they pray the whole thing. And I have a feeling, and it makes a lot of sense. Prayer is for everybody. Prayer, there are people who cannot read because they're blind. There are people who are not educated, couldn't read, but they can go into the synagogue and they can participate by listening and be involved in the whole prayer. Not only this, but more important, it is visual. It is very interesting visually when you're going into a Sephardic environment, especially going to Morocco, seeing some of these very old synagogues, the Pinto synagogue that I photographed. It's full of texture. The walls, it's the wall of texture, it shows the age. It's been there for thousands of years. Not Pinto synagogue, but some of those synagogues. In contrast to a synagogue in Czechoslovakia, in Prague, you take the Ateneo synagogue, which has been there for 1,000 years, but it has more of a feeling of medieval time. That is what's so exciting about traveling and see our heritage and what we have left behind.
Can you tell us which communities you have visited and photographed so far for this project?
Well, like I mentioned before, initially I've been in Israel. Israel is probably the most photogenic of all countries. But Morocco is very interesting. Going to Fez, from Fez to Casablanca, they have different synagogues, different textures, different architecture. The people, the way they dress, the way they go to synagogue, some of the rituals. I photographed, I was in Ukraine, go in Ukraine, go to see the Baal Shem Tov Kever, which is unbelievable, which is so visual. Go and visit the fountain where the Baal Shem Tov took his students. And where he was, where they were thirsty, and he tapped on the ground, and water came out. And still today, that fountain still exists. And you see people coming, Jews coming from all over the world, just to get some of the water from the fountain, from the Baal Shem Tov. Going to Belgium, interesting. Going to Belgium, I was there in Belgium on a Shabbat. We went to the main synagogue in Brussels. Naturally, I couldn't photograph on Shabbat, but I photographed at another time. Beautiful old synagogue that was maintained, that was not burned down, was not destroyed by the German, because if they had destroyed the synagogue, some of the very important municipal buildings, which are very close to the synagogue in Brussels, would have come down. But you go to the synagogue to pray on the Shabbat, and you have policemen and soldiers on four corners of the street, just before the entrance of the synagogue, with machine guns to protect the synagogue. I mean, this is the experiences that you have in Belgium, as a different country. Now, as opposite from Brussels, Brussels doesn't have as many Jews as you have in Antwerp. Antwerp, unbelievable. It's a center of diamond. A lot of Jews enter the diamond business. And you find a lot of the surviving Jews from the Holocaust in Antwerp. And there you have a large Jewish community with synagogue. And in contrast, in Prague, we went to the Outer Synagogue to pray. Again, the inside, medieval. I have some amazing photographs just inside the synagogue, which is unbelievable. And in contrast, here is the area, you don't have Jews anymore. But the center of Prague, the Jewish quarters, is now a museum. And you go to from the Ateneo Synagogue, you go two blocks around, and you have the Spanish Synagogue. Unbelievable, the detail, the texture that has been created by architects and artisans and artists. It's a piece of artwork to see this, and no Jews there. It's heartbreaking. And I could keep going and going, and it is incredible. Also, seeing some of the Jews that survived the war in Ukraine is unbelievable. I met one guy at the synagogue. He had a lot of medals on his pocket of his vest, of his jacket. And I asked him, "What is this?" And he carries with him photograph when he was a tank commander in the Russian army, and he won all these medals. And I have a photograph of him with all his medals and the photograph. You see a lot of that in Ukraine. You know, so it's amazing. It's amazing what you encounter. What you encounter. Again, Israel. Everybody's gone to Israel. I don't have to say much. I mean, because everywhere you turn, I mean, it's a photograph, it's an image. Can't stop. I think that one of the most beautiful countries in the world is committed to Israel, right?
And if you have any questions, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to make any comments, if you want to speak to our guest, please give us a call at 714-333-3357 or 347-202-0153. That's 714-333-3357 or 347-202-0153. Now tell me, what other countries are you planning to visit yet before you finish this project?
Well, definitely I want to go to Poland. I haven't been in Poland. I definitely would like to go China. I've been to China before, but I would like to go to China. I'd like to go into Yugoslavia. I want to go to Germany. Been in Germany before. I want to go there again. There's been some rebuilding. See what's been left over there. Just have to do research. Also, I don't know how this will happen. But certainly, I would love to go to Egypt. I would love to go to Tunisia. I don't think those countries are available. I would love to go to Turkey. I have a friend of mine that's been in Turkey. As a matter of fact, we had the chief rabbi of Turkey had come to the synagogue that I belong to in Manhattan. Manhattan Sephardic synagogue. He came and spoke about Turkey, Jews in Turkey, and that would be very fascinating. I mean, we've been there isn't a country where we haven't been, and I would like to go to where we have to all the countries where we have been. The what I find fascinating also the Bahariya people who wear very specific. Different types of clothing on weddings in
that's
in,
correct. The Bukharans, if you look at the clothing at the weddings, I mean, the women look really like queens and the men like kings, but especially the way the women dress at the weddings. Incredible.
Right.
Now, among the countries that you mentioned was Germany. I was in Germany in 1970. And most of the synagogues before the war, most of the synagogues that had been standing there for centuries had been destroyed during the infamous Kristallnacht. In every city, there is at least one rebuilt synagogue that was rebuilt in the 50s under the direction of former Chancellor of Germany, Konrad Adenauer, who himself was a political prisoner under the Nazis. I remember in Kern, they built up this beautiful, beautiful synagogue that has have the appearance of a castle, have the appearance of a medieval building with long naves and so on. As you go inside, there is a little museum, and on the ceiling they have a map of Cologne before the war. All the Jewish synagogues and Shtiblach, or Cloisen as they would call it, there were 18 of them. Today, all that remains is one large synagogue that is mostly empty. But here is the interesting thing. As you walk around the synagogue, it was rebuilt to look exactly as it did before the war. And on various areas, you have the year when it was finished, when the original one was finished. It is awesome to look at them. The architecture is very impressive, and at the same time, to look at them makes one cry at what was lost. You definitely have to visit Germany. There are many, many such places.
Yeah, that's going to be very important for me to record some of the synagogues as they are destroyed. That's something that we should never forget. We should look at it and remember what they've done to us, not only the way they've killed us physically, but also our building of synagogue, our places of worship. And through that, I think it's also wrenching a feeling of loss. Go ahead, Chaim.
And also, for example, you might want to think about a country like Spain, where during the Inquisition, everything was destroyed, and whatever Jewish life there was went completely underground, as Marranos, as they were called. And yet, today, a lot of the Marranos are coming back as proud Jews, as the Jews that they were once secretly, they can now do it openly. That's another place filled with history, filled with Jewish blood. You might want to consider it. You might also want to consider a place like Italy.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Italy, Venice. Venice is probably one of the most important places. Venice was where
and also Rome.
The ghetto started. Yeah, the word ghetto,
right.
By the way, started in Italy, right in Venice. And the ghetto was really where the Jews had to, at night, in the evening, they couldn't stay within the people, and they had to go back to the ghetto, and that's where it comes from.
Well, in Rome, for example, to this day, the Jewish ghetto is completely surrounded by fortress-like walls. At each of the entrances, you'll find the papal arms, and even the most anti-Semitic popes did not allow anyone to harm anyone within the ghetto. However, once a Jew ventured out of the ghetto, he was fair game. As long as they stayed in the ghetto, they were under papal protection. As soon as they went out, hey, whatever happens, happens.
Correct.
Very interesting chapter of Jewish history.
By the way, Chaim, there were ghettos all over Italy. As a matter of fact, during the war.
That's correct.
We were hidden in the mountains north of Italy in Piemont, and I went back to visit the area one time, and two of the members of the partisans were Jewish, and I went to visit them, and they lived in New York. So what's interesting, it's the only family today, and they maintain the ghetto that was in Cuneo, and he brought me there. Unbelievable. It's still there, but it's a very low door to get in. You had to bend very low. In order to get into the ghetto, you had to bend. Jews had to bend to go over. And that was one of the things. Always had to be lower than anybody else. And it's still existing. Way up in the Piemont area, in the north of Italy, where near the Alps. Unbelievable. And he was a part of it.
Can you tell us some anecdotes about some of your travels?
Some of my what?
Can you tell us some anecdotes about some of your travels? Something funny or something touching that happened to you?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You wouldn't believe this, but I've done photography for Mad Magazine for 46 years. I did a back page. I mean, it's one of the things that I've done. Besides teaching, I've done work. I had work in Life Magazine. I had work for McCall's. I worked for a lot of the Paris Match. I had photograph in Stern Magazine. I had photograph in Life Magazine. But Mad it was the most exciting. Why? Is because Bill Gaines wanted the humor of Mad Magazine to be worldly. And for it to be worldly, every year, if you had contributed X amount of pages for Mad Magazine, you were invited on one of his junkets, someplace in the world. What he did, he went into his office, and he threw a dart at a map. And wherever that dart would fall, that's where we would go. And some of the countries that we've been in Greece, been in Russia, been in Italy, we've been in Japan, been in Thailand, just name it. And you have to understand Mad Magazine. Mad Magazine, the staff is all freelance. And the office, there's basically one editor, one other, no, I'm sorry. There's one main editor, two assistant editors, there were two artists at the time, and then Bill Gaines and a secretary. But no women were allowed, no wife were allowed, only the guys. And he also invited his accountant and his attorney. And it was incredible. So you're traveling with writers, artists, who are very bright, very clever, and it was just unbelievable, some of the trips. Like
you mean Life Art Magazine was more than just Alfred E. Newman?
No, absolutely. No, each one of them, I mean, each one of the artists are witty, they're funny, they're extremely bright, they're articulate. And you take Sergio, for instance. Sergio, Mexican, tall guy, good-looking guy with handlebars. He walked down the street. He would walk down the street, and he'd be attracted by women, by children, by cats. And you would see him. He would come from one. He would stop at a corner, and by the time he'd be on the other side of the street, he would have a woman on his by his arm. You would see children following him. I mean, he's like a real Pied Piper. But one time, we were in Italy, we were in Florence. And in Florence, the students, they like to demonstrate. There was a demonstration, a rally of some sort. And there was a parade of students coming down the block. And we're looking down as the students approaching us. Who was in the front with a big placard leading the crowd? Sergio Aragonese. I mean, unbelievable. Also, the interesting part, when we were in Greece, everywhere we go, in Japan, we went into some sort of a museum or whatever, and there were a lot of kids there also, and all of a sudden, all the kids gave everybody a piece of paper with a pencil. So we thought, oh my God, these kids are so bright. They think we are the artists. They know they were the artists of Mad Magazine, you know. So we start drawing, making drawings for them, you know. And each one has their own personal style. And the kids said, no. And the guy, the teacher who spoke English, no. They want you to write something in English because they're Japanese. They didn't want a drawing. I mean, this is really what it was. And in Greece, the same thing. In Greece, we went to Agena. We were in Athens, and one day a group of us went to Agena. And when we arrived in Agena, there's a horse and buggy that take you around the island. So the driver of the carriage, waves us to come aboard. So we go aboard the carriage, and we ride around. And he was so proud to have Americans with him, so he'd take us to his cousin, to his home. And he's got grapes outside, he offers grapes and fruit and everything else. So here again, we start drawing, we're making little drawings for him, caricature of the style of each one of the artists, there were about five of them. And what he really wanted was not the drawing. He wanted matchbox. He collects matches from all over the world. He wanted matches from New York. Matchbook. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, these are known artists. But that's what he wanted. So, you know, we've had some amazing fun, especially in London. In London, when we arrived in London, they had, as far as was it, Mad is known in London also. As a matter of fact, Mad is distributed in England, Australia, and it's also translated in many different languages. It's translated in Swedish, Norwegian, French, Spanish. And so we arrived in London. They picked us up at the airport with one of those double-decker buses with huge posters on either side of the bus, Mad Magazine from New York. So, you know, big party, a lot of fun. But the
how many such trips were you on?
Oh, I would say over the years, approximately eight trips.
And how long did they last on the average?
They would be like about 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
About 10 days. It was really a lot of fun. I mean, between the traveling and the stage, about 10 days.
When do you think you'll be making your next trip for this project?
Oh, for Mad Magazine?
No, for your book project.
Oh, the next trip is going to be in Poland. I haven't yet been in Auschwitz and Krakow, and I hope to go to Krakow, and I want to go there in the winter.
There is a lot of history in Krakow, a lot of Jewish history.
Right.
In fact, there is a story related by Dr. Yaffa Eliach, the author of the book Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust. It seems that when Jimmy Carter was president, he led an American delegation to Poland, and he invited Dr. Eliach.
Mm-hmm.
She went along, and when they were in Krakow, at the famous Ramos Synagogue, she saw there was a lone Yidele sitting towards the back, not talking to anybody. When somebody tried to talk to him, he would just look down, he would not answer. When the ceremony was over, she approached him, and he told her in Yiddish, "God doesn't live here anymore." So she looked at him, expecting him to say something else, and he says, "He doesn't live here anymore. Instead, he's over the fields in Treblinka and on the fields in Majdanek." It's a pity that over 1,000 years of Jewish history has been destroyed so easily. It's a pity that all the learning that once existed in Poland is no more. On the other hand, I do believe that we are reviving that slowly. What do you think, Irving?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're reviving. We're coming back. More people now go to yeshivas. They go. Everybody's looking forward to go to Israel. My son,
right?
He told me that he's going to go. He goes to Maimonides in Boston, and after he's going to be finished his studies in Boston, he's going to go for a couple of years in Israel to study. And he says, Dad, you realize eventually I'm going to make Aliyah. When are you buying something in Israel? This is my son.
He's absolutely right.
Absolutely.
He's absolutely
and
right.
I see the same among his colleagues, his students, his friends, exactly the same. And I see this all over the place. I mean, this is something that's close to me. It's my son. But I see it all around me. And it's fascinating. It's very exciting. And that's where we belong. That's where we belong. And I'm looking forward to the day.
Well, Irving, this has been a very, very interesting show. I love talking to you.
Thank you very much.
And I'm
very
grateful that you agreed to come on our show. Next week, our guest will be Tammy Cohen. We will be transmitting live from 18 Restaurant in Manhattan. On 81st Street and 2nd Avenue.
Good. What's the name
Thank
of the restaurant?
Thank you very, very much, Irving, for being on our show. Thank you very, very
Thank
much
you,
to one and all of our listeners. And we'll see you all next week. Same time, same place. Good night.
Good night. Thanks.
Good night.